Take your Bibles with me tonight. Let's turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. We're in lesson 11 in these parables of the Lord Jesus, volume 2, the greatest stories ever told. And we're in Luke chapter 16, and I'll begin reading in verse 1. I'll read down through verse 13. I want you to follow along as I read out loud. Luke 16, 1, the Bible says, "And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, How much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then he said to another, And how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." I want you to notice that we've entitled this parable, the parable of the faithful, the parable of the faithful. And I want you to underline a note in your Bible in verse 10. The Bible says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." He that is faithful. Now, as far as the story of the parable is concerned, as far as actually the events or the little episode that took place in this story cast alongside a great truth, it's pretty easy to understand that part. The story is of a lord and his steward. The lord, evidently, one who owned lands or owned houses, and the steward was one who managed his lord's finances or managed his lord's houses, managed his lord's estate. And so the lord found out about this steward who was unjust, who had been wasting his goods, who had not been managing the lord's possessions well. And the steward knew he was going to lose his job. He knew that when he gave account of his stewardship, and since he had been dishonest, and since he had been a bad worker, he knew he was going to be put out. So he quickly thought of a little scheme, and he quickly began to plan, and he started bringing in those men who owed his lord some type of debt. And he began to bargain with them. The first guy, he said, "Why don't you just give me 50% of what you owe him, and then we'll just call it even." A second guy comes in. He says, "How much do you owe my Lord?" He said, "Well, I owe 100 measures of wheat." He said, "Well, just write 80. Just write 80, and we'll just call it even." He brings the others in, and the Lord commended the unjust steward. He said, "Well, he acted wisely, because he acted in a way where he was trying to gain favor with others, because he knew he was going to lose his job." And certainly the Lord said, "You acted wisely," but it didn't change the fact that he was a dishonest person. He stole from his Lord even, as he was dismissed from his position. And the Lord Jesus takes this story to try to help us to see something very important that we need to know for our Christian lives. Very important. He wraps it up in verse 10 by saying, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in much." Really, this is a bottom line type thing in the Bible. If we ask ourselves the question, are we faithful in that which is least? Then the answer to that question really determines everything else about our Christian lives. It determines whether or not we're pleasing God. I want you to notice a couple things with me, if you would please. First of all, as we look in this parable, we see something, first of all, about our finances. About our finances. Notice again in Luke chapter 16 and verse 1, it says, "And he said also unto his disciples, There was a certain rich man." There was a certain rich man. And this is not just a story, it's a story about a certain rich man. And Christ is speaking here about finances. Say, how do you know that? Well, if you notice here, look at the first word of Luke chapter 16. It's the word "and," is it not? That means that Christ is continuing his speaking from chapter 15, all that we learned about the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son. And we learned that the publicans and sinners had come to Jesus, and also the Pharisees were sitting right there murmuring and complaining that he received sinners. And then Christ told about that elder brother, and that pictured those Pharisees. Well, then Luke 16:1 says, "And he said also unto his disciples." Now he's looking at his disciples in the presence of these others, and he wants to teach them something. And actually what we find is he's teaching something about finances. Look at verse 14, if you would, please. We stopped in verse 13. But immediately after the parable is given, the Bible says in verse 14, "And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him." The word covetous means that they were craving money. They were craving finances. They were craving things. And Christ could see beyond all the exterior. Christ could see right to their hearts. And so these Pharisees are in the presence of the Lord Jesus and his disciples, and there are even publicans and sinners who are coming to him. But he says, "I want to teach my disciples something about finances." He didn't want those disciples to have the same attitude about their finances that these covetous Pharisees did. Really, we see in this story a picture of these Pharisees, because as this unjust steward kind of schemed his way and planned his way and moved and worked things so that he would benefit from others, that's how these Pharisees regarded themselves, and that's how they even regarded their own finances. So he tells them a story about this rich man. In fact, you're familiar with it later in verse 19. The Bible says that Jesus kept on speaking about a rich man. He talks about another one. He says there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. And you know the story. This is the story of a rich man who died and went to hell because he died in his sin without Christ. So there's no doubt that Christ is speaking about our finances. And we consider being faithful in that which is least. We understand the Lord Jesus is working toward talking about these earthly material things that he's placed in our hands, the possessions that he has given us. I want you to take your Bible and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6 to read an interesting teaching about our money, teaching about our finances there. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 8 down through verse 10, the Bible says, "And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." Sad to say that content is not usually the first adjective that comes to people's minds when they think about a Christian, right? "And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich or desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." He goes on to say that we need to live in such a way we realize that we brought nothing into this world and we can carry nothing out. The love of money is the root of all evil. When we talk about our finances, we have to realize something, that money in and of itself is not evil. He didn't say money is the root of all evil. Finances in and of themselves are not evil. In fact, they're not immoral. They're amoral, which just simply means they're neither good nor evil. But what we do with those finances, what we do with the things that God has placed in our hands, makes it good or evil, because we have an opportunity to do something right with it or do something wrong with it. And there's no doubt that in this parable, Christ is speaking about our finances. I want you to notice, secondly, in the parable, our friendships. Our friendships. We look again at verse 8, and notice what happened here. The Bible says, "The Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light." I think I've heard people make this verse mean 150 different things. But literally here, notice he says the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. He's talking here saying, as far as earthly things are concerned, the children of this world have a different attitude about finances. At least we're supposed to have a different attitude than them as believers. And they're wise in dealing with their earthly things. In fact, compared to how we deal with our heavenly things, they're wise in dealing with those earthly things, and we should be just as wise in dealing with heavenly things. We should have just as much diligence in dealing with the things of God and the things that are going to last for eternity as they seem to have, and things are just going to fade away and burn up one day. Look what it says again in verse 9. This may be a little unusual expression, but I think you can understand it. Verse 9, he said, I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, that word means to die, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. So what does that mean? Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. Well, it doesn't mean that we do something evil. Certainly Christ would not speak to us and tell his disciples, well, I want you to do something evil. What is he saying? He's saying that we have an opportunity. While we're in this world, we can use the mammon. We can use the things that are temporal. We can use our finances. We can use those to win people, not to ourselves, but we can use it to so that people might be won to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, when you do that, when you die, when you fail, that they will receive you into everlasting habitations. Now, there's kind of a connection. Look, in verse 4, we see the steward, he did what he could, and he tried to connive and scheme. He didn't think of God's blessing. He didn't consider God's reward. He didn't consider what was right. He didn't consider what was the real Christian thing to do. He didn't consider any of those things. He just simply used what God had put in his hands as just a way to get himself ahead. Just to get pleasure for himself, or just to promote himself in some way. And sad to say, many Christians are just using what God's put in their hands the same way. But we have the opportunity to use that mammon, not just for things that bring self-pleasure, or things that promote ourselves. We have the opportunity to use it for something that counts for an everlasting reward. He said, when you die, you go to heaven, there'll be those there who say, I was one to Christ because you did the right thing with what God put in your hands. Isn't that an important message? The Pharisees didn't see that. They seemed to be right on the outside, but they were covetous. All they cared about was getting things for themselves, just like this unjust steward. And he did it so that he could be received into their houses. Christ said, you could do something with it so that you could be received into everlasting habitations. When you come, people will say, I'm glad you gave. I'm glad you gave what God had given you. I'm glad you realized why God had put those things in your hands. Because you gave, I found that gospel tract that was printed and I got saved. Because you gave, that missionary came and told me about Christ. Because you gave, I had that Bible to tell me of the Lord Jesus. And see, God has given us this wonderful opportunity to win those, not to ourselves, but our true friendships, winning those others to Christ. So that when we die, we can say, we're doing the right thing. And that leads us really to the main point of the parable. And then I want you to consider thoroughly our faith. Really, this is a matter of faith. He's teaching these disciples that you don't just live by sight and you don't do with your finances just the things that seem to work out for your benefit. He said, you have to live by faith. So he brings out the word in verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. I want you to circle in your Bible, if you haven't already done so, the verbs there is. He that is faithful, and that which is least, is faithful also in much. He says, automatically, if you're doing what is right with the least, automatically you're doing what's right with the much. And how do we know in life what is least and what is much? Well, we know through faith. Through the eyes of faith, we understand the difference. What is least? That's the things that are temporal. That's the things that are temporary, that'll fade away. That's the things that are going to burn up one day. Those are the least, those are the earthly things. What is much? Those are the things that are eternal. Those are the heavenly things. And he says, he that is faithful, those who are faithful right now with just the least, with the things that are going to fade away one day, those who are faithful with those things, automatically, at the same time, they are faithful in that which is much. They're doing the right thing not only for time, but they're doing the right thing for eternity. You ever think about what we're doing with what's least? You see, we reveal whether or not we have faith in God by what we're doing today as Christians with those things that are least. What has God put in our hands? You know, we can look at our checkbooks and find out, right? We can look at our bank accounts and find out. We can just take a look at a few things if we've got the records, and we can find out, hey, this is what I'm doing with what God's put in my hands. And we need to look and say, I want to do the right thing. I want to be faithful. I want to exercise faith toward God with these things that are going to fade away one day. I don't want to live a covetous, pharisaical life. I want to be faithful. I want to exercise faith towards God with these least things so that as I'm doing that at the same time, I know that I'm exercising faith toward God. I'm being faithful in that which is much. I'm doing what's right for eternity as I do what's right with these least of things. Jesus said, just ask the one question. Are you faithful in that which is least? That's all we have to do. Because if we are being faithful right now with what God's put in our hands, then I've got news for you. At the same time, we are doing right for eternity. And that's what Christ wants our lives to do. He wants us to count for eternity. Use whatever God has placed in your hands. Don't gripe about how little it may be. And don't gloat over how much it may be. Just use everything that God's placed in your hands. Use that which is least for God and for His glory and for His gospel to go forward. Use those things. Give it for the cause of Christ. And then we're doing what's right for all of eternity. Then we know we're being faithful in that which is much.